Libertarian or conservative? How about a take on government that's just chock full of common sense? Kristen B. Tate gives her take exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
This administration's attack against the media, it takes many forms. Yeah, one form is the president having a rally this Saturday instead of attending the dinner. And I do think it matters mostly because of what it means about these tensions continuing to escalate.
That's Brian Stelter on CNN. And by the president not going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, according to what he just said, the president not going to the dinner is somehow an attack on the media. These people have lost it. Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. Kristen B. Tate rejoins us for Tate's Take on Wednesdays. We always enjoy seeing what she's up to, especially when she's written about something very important like taxpayer dollars and how they're associated with illegal immigration, which, you know, if she wrote about, she covered in depth. We'll get to that in a second. But Kristen, let me ask you about that. Brian Stelter, who, you know, is often wrong. Like that's one of his most significant footnotes is that he often gets his stuff wrong, is complaining and calling it an attack against the media for the president to basically ignore them at their White House Correspondents' Dinner. Your take, Kristen B. Tate.
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, no one should be surprised that Donald Trump doesn't want to go to this dinner. I mean, the media have been completely unfair to him, and he's the first Republican that I can think of that's actually had the guts to fight back against these people and their smears and their lies, especially after 2 years of people like Brian Stelter and his friends at CNN peddling this garbage Russian collusion narrative and whipping up the whole country into a, you know, hysteric frenzy over a hoax that never even happened. So I say more power to Trump. I wouldn't go to the dinner either. And of course, Brian Stelter and his friends are going to moan and howl about this because it just means fewer people will actually tune in to watch this event.
I think that by actually me playing that soundbite, I might have quadrupled Brian Stelter's ratings this week just in playing that one soundbite.
I think you definitely did.
So let me get a follow up on that point then, because, you know, CNN had this series of Democrat town halls a couple of nights ago, just one after the other, back to back. And that, Kristen, they're some of the lowest rated cable news product that's ever been put on the air. There is no excitement building around the Democratic campaigns.
Right. I think, you know, I do actually have to push back on that a little bit. I think there's a lot of excitement in the Democrat base, but I think right now they're deflated because the one thing they were counting on to take down Trump ended up just being a big nothing.
Right.
So I do think the Democrats want someone to vote for. The Democrat voters, they don't like Trump, but these candidates, they haven't really put together platform positions that are very compelling, because for the last 2 years, all they've been running on is resisting Trump and booting him from office and Russian collusion. This Russian collusion narrative lessened the need for them to put together real policy ideas.
So they thought.
So I think that's the problem, but I don't see them shifting to policy, at least compelling policy, other than socialist, you know, far left progressive ideas, which certainly won't help them get blue collar or working class voters.
Well, Mayor Pete Buttigieg was asked about why he doesn't have any policy stuff on his website this week. And he basically said, well, I'm still formulating, you know, the big ideas I'm going to announce. And if you compare his sudden rise in the Democratic ranks with Elizabeth Warren's kind of simultaneous fall, and she probably has the most detailed policy ideas of any of the declared candidates, but she was like way up in the teens. Now she's down around 5% and she's dropping fast. It might not be to their benefit to actually articulate specific policy because their ideas are so bad.
Right. I think it's a difficult position for the Democrats because they have to sort of appease two very different wings of their party. But if they don't put out any policies at all, then they're not really going to be able to mobilize anyone in the voter base. But I do think that eventually the candidate who would be the most strong against Trump is a moderate candidate, like a Biden or someone who can reach out to the former blue dog Democrat.
Yeah, if you can actually convince Joe Biden to get in the race, though, that's the problem. Like, he keeps delaying the announcement. He's supposed to announce today. He's not going to announce today. Maybe tomorrow. Who knows? But he's fading in the polls.
Well, I think he was going to announce earlier, but he probably pushed it off a little bit to wait for the dust to settle with the whole, like, creepy Joe Biden groping people thing. So I think that's why he's waited so long. He wanted that to go away so that it wouldn't cast a shadow.
And that's not going to come back at all once he's in. That's not going to come back at all once he's in, especially with me. I won't be tempted at all to call him creepy Uncle Joe. All right, real quickly, your piece in The Hill, taxpayer dollars footing the spiraling cost of illegal immigration. How so, Kristen Tate?
Well, when we talk about immigration, usually it's a moral argument for or against it. And I wanted to look at the dollar and cents of this. You have a lot of people on the left saying, immigrants are a net positive to the country. But actually, when you dig into the numbers, illegal immigration is a net negative to the country. The illegal immigration costs taxpayers $116 billion in 2017. And I got that figure by subtracting the total tax revenue paid by illegal immigrants, which is about $19 billion, from the total economic impact of illegal immigration that year. So these folks are net consumers of taxpayer funded services, and people ought to know that their tax dollars are supporting this.
Well, and you lay it out very neatly, as you always do, in the Hill. It's her article from this week. Your taxpayer dollars are footing the spiraling costs of illegal immigration. Of course, this is one of the things that you're always watching. You're my economic fiscal hawk. You're always scouting out the real cost to the American taxpayer. And we need someone to do that, Kristen, because if it weren't for you, there's not really another major reporter that just has that as their constant beat. So congratulations and good job on that. And we'll have to talk to you again next week about whatever else is bubbling up in the news. But for now, the president, none of his aides, none of his cabinet going to the correspondence dinner this year. And Kristen B. Tate's take is that's A-OK. Kristen, feel better. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Kevin McCullough, when we continue, Shelley Goldberg is here. How to have great conversation with your kids around the dinner table. And a little bit later, more breaking news as it happens. Stay with us. It's Kevin McCullough.